This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's coming up on 10 minutes after 6 on this Friday morning from FM 106, part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois, by Pros Drainage, and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield.
Attention farmers, did you notice lower yields in those low, poorly drained areas of your field last year? Or is your existing tile system just not doing the job? Then you need a drainage pro. Call Pros Drainage today, and they'll design a drainage plan and install drain tile that'll give you better soil aeration, along with better root development, increasing your crop yields. Don't wait until it's time to plant. Schedule your tile installation now so you can get back into your field sooner come spring. Call Greg at Pros Drainage in Girard today.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Finding a loan to get closer to what matters shouldn't be complicated, according to Rural First loan officer Luke Fraley.
What makes Rural First really unique is our fixed rate offerings in country living. So whether you've got a home on 40 acres or a home on an acre, as long as it's outside of town, we've got a fixed rate product for that. On top of the homes, it's ag real estate, recreational, hunting land, and the down payment options start at 15% down with no PMI. Part of what I'm seeing now are families wanting to move to the country, to be closer to what matters to them. You know, there's a lot of people that love to hunt. There's a lot of people that just want the peace. You know, whether you want to have a garden, whatever you're looking for outside of town, Rural First has a product for it.
Get closer to what matters with Rural First Country Life Lending. Visit farmcreditil.com/escape and make the move. NMLS ID 1844469, Equal Housing Lender, all loans subject to credit approval and eligibility.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Recapping yesterday, Thursday's grain prices off the Chicago Board of Trade. Corn was 6 to 13 cents lower, soybeans 11 to 13 cents lower, and wheat 11 to 12 cents lower on a Thursday. First off, your front month corn futures into the session with double-digit old crop losses and 5.75 to 6.25 cent givebacks in the newer crop. Ethanol data showed that production was back up for the week ending last Friday, May 28th. Plants averaged 1.034 million barrels a day in production, which is the third consecutive week of a million plus, and the largest weekly production since before the coronavirus pandemic's influence. Ahead of the delayed export sales report coming out today, analysts surveyed anticipate seeing between 200,000 metric tons of old crop corn cancellation and 400,000 metric tons of new net sales. For new crop, the trade is looking between 300,000 and 900,000 metric tons to be reported. DataGrow lowered their estimate for Brazil's corn output again with additional 3.8 million metric ton of a cut to 101.7 million metric tons as dryness there continues. At the close of trade Thursday, soybean futures were down by double digits through November delivery. Deferred soybean contracts were also lower on the day with 2 to 9.75 cents of a give back. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange's synthetic soybean crush pulled back on Thursday after a bean oil-led spike on Wednesday. Soybean meal futures closed $2.10 to $2.40 lower. Soybean oil futures gave back 98 cents to $1.53 on Thursday after a $2-plus rally on Wednesday. Analysts surveyed ahead of the USDA's weekly export sales report that estimated old crop bean bookings from the week ending last Thursday, May 27th, were between 100 and 200,000 metric tons of new business. New crop soybean sales are expected to come in below 400,000 metric tons. For soybean meal, the trade is looking to see between 100 and 300,000 metric tons sold for 2020 and 2021 delivery, and between 0 to 75,000 metric tons for 21-22 delivery. Traders surveyed anticipate the USDA to report between 10,000 metric tons of soybean oil cancellations and 25,000 metric tons of new net sales. With Brazil's 2020-2021 soybeans in the bin, Datagro upped their production forecast to 137 million metric ton from 136.3 last month. USDA's May estimate is for 136 million metric tons. And Iran is seeing 60,000 metric tons of vegetable oil via international tender. Specifically, Iran's GTC is seeking 30,000 metric tons of soybean oil and 30,000 metric tons of sunflower oil. And Thursday's wheat trading closed the day with portional losses. Chicago Board of Trade soft red wheat futures were the weakest on the day, ending the session 11 and a quarter to 11 and three quarter cents lower. Kansas City hard red wheat futures also added to the downside with 9 to 9.5 cent losses. Minneapolis hard spring wheat turned south in the afternoon and closed down by 5.5 to 8 3/4. Triple-digit daytime high temperatures are expected in Fargo and other North Dakota areas today and tomorrow Saturday. Rainfall chances are there for the next coming week, but mostly between 20 and 30% odds with low accumulation amounts possible. Chinese wheat futures continue to consolidate on Wednesday. Wheat remains at a discount to corn here in the United States, but at least on the board in China, wheat remains at about a 43 cent to $1.12 per bushel premium. And ahead of the export sales data released today, analysts expect the USDA to show between 25,000 metric tons of old crop cancellation and 100,000 metric tons of new sales. New crop wheat bookings are estimated between 200 and 500,000 metric tons. And the Russian wheat crop was forecasted at 81 million metric tons with 37 million expected for export. Indonesia reportedly passed on offers for their 240,000 metric ton feed wheat tender. Bangladesh is on the market for 50,000 metric tons of wheat. So recapping your lower grain futures from yesterday, Thursday off the Board of Trade, July corn in the old crop down 13 to 662, December new crop corn 6.25 cents lower to 566.5. July beans, the old crop down 13.25, 1549.25. November new crop down 10.25, 1403.5. July wheat in Chicago down by 11.25, 676.25. September wheat down 11.75, 680.75. July oats down 4 to 380. September oats down 6, 379.5. August and July soybean meal down $2.40. July at 391.60, August 392.90. And finally, your soybean oil had a $1.53 loss in the July at 68.85. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the latest cash grain report.
This is Thursday's board grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Thursday afternoon as soybeans turned lower on the downturn in soybean oil. And attention now turns to the weather forecast. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 11 to 18 cents, 660 to 687. Soy bids were 13 to 14 cents lower at 1522 to 1552. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 13 to 17 cents, 652 to 688. Soy bids were 13 to 16 cents lower at 1536 to 1586. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 13 to 14 cents, 666 to 707. Soy bids were 13 to 16 cents lower at 1533 to 1581. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 11 to 13 cents lower at 1553 to 1604. Basically was steadied up to at 4 over to 55 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were down 13 cents, 662 to 702. Basically was unchanged at option to 40 over the July. Illinois River Barge Floating Elevator Decoder did produce corn bids down 13 cents, 692 to 699, but basis unchanged to 30 over to 37 over the July. Soybeans ended 13 cents lower at 1505 to 1569, but basis steady at 1 over to 20 over the July. New crop wheat prices were 11 cents lower at 644 to 655, but basis unchanged to 32 under to 21 under the July. East St. Louis barge flowing 20 place, their producer corn bids down 13 to 19 cents, 708 to 714. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 14 cents, quotations at 1579 to 1580. Soft wheat closed down 12 cents at 687 to 688. Milo ended the day mostly 13 cents lower at 716 to 717. Contract bids producers for October-November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 532 to 557, soybeans at 1359 to 1384. In the central part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 535 to 555, soybeans at 1374 to 1392. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 532 to 586, soybeans at 1363 to 1421. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys reporting for the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on now to your livestock numbers from yesterday, Thursday. Fat cattle finished mixed, feeder cattle higher, and hogs also higher on your Thursday. First off, your fat cattle futures ended the Thursday session of the short week with 25 to 72 cent losses in the nearby, but 12 to 30 cent gains in the winter delivery months. Front month cattle futures are trading 12 to 67 cents weaker so far, led by the August. USDA confirmed Thursday cash sales between 118 to 121, but noted most were at the $119 level. Feeder cattle futures also turned higher after posting midday losses and ended the Thursday session with a 62 cent to $1.22 gain. The CME feeder cattle index was 15 cents higher back on Wednesday, June 2nd, to 136.65. Wholesale box beef prices were again higher Thursday afternoon as the USDA quoted choice boxes 39 cents higher and select boxes $1.28 higher. And the USDA has estimated cattle slaughter on Thursday back on track at 321,000 head, but the week-to-date kill is still trailing last week by 157,000 head. And in your hog futures, after closing Wednesday mixed to mostly lower, lean hog futures ended Thursday with gains of 20 cents to $1.12. USDA's national average base hog price was down 20 cents in the afternoon update to 108.45, and the lean hog index was higher by 21 cents back on Tuesday, June 1st, 113.75. Pork cutout values closed Thursday with gains of $1.07 to $1.97 in the front months. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value was reported at 131.50 to 100 weight Thursday afternoon, up by $4.77. Rib primals were down by a significant $24.12 to 272.69. USDA estimated hog slaughter for the week through Thursday is 1.3 million head, and that's down from last week's numbers by 630,000 head. So again, to recap your mostly higher livestock futures from yesterday, Thursday, off the Mercantile Exchange, June live cattle were 35 cents lower to 116.77, August down by 72 to 118.52, October 25 cents lower in the fat cattle to 124.65, but December fat cattle were 12 cents higher to 129.82. August feeder cattle, 62 cents higher on Thursday, 152.95. September feeders, 70 cents higher, 155.50. October feeders, 87 cents higher at 157.37. Finally, your lean hogs for June were $1.12 higher, 119.37. July up 52 cents to $119 even. August up 20 cents to $117 even. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for your latest cash livestock report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 20 cents lower in a range of 99.74 to 119.85, with the weighted average carcass price of 108.45. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were $1 to $2 lower, with moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $38 to $42, 4 to 5 weight at $40 to $44, 5 to 6 weight at $43 to $47, and over 600 pounds at $45 to $50. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gilts at the country buying points were a dollar higher, with moderate to good demand for moderate to heavy offerings, ranging from $71 to $76. Packer receipts for barrows and gilts totaled $15,524. in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report. Steers on a live basis traded at 121 and on a dress basis at 190 to 193. Heifers on a live basis traded at 120 to 121 and on a dress basis at 189 to 190. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 290 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $131.52, which was $1.93 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $340.55, which was 39 cents higher. Select carcasses at $313.16, which was $1.28 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 120,000, compared to 121,000 last week and 116,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 470,000, compared to 481,000 last week and 440,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois, by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, and by Pros Drainage. At 626, radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Times have changed, and so has the way you can access your grain account information. M&M Service Company is proud to introduce our new safe and secure grain app. Get 24/7 account access from your smartphone, iPad, or tablet, which gives you the ability to track scale tickets, contract statuses, settlements, and open balances on any grain in DP, open storage, and in held. You are also able to view cash bids as well as a futures market. Plus, it's free for growers. Contact your local M&M Service grain staff to verify your contact phone number is on the accounts you wish to view before trying to log into the app.
Today, sunny skies, high temperatures in the mid-80s and south winds at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies, low temperatures in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, Saturday, sunny skies, highs in the upper 80s. For Sunday through Tuesday, sunny skies on Sunday, a chance of a shower Monday and Tuesday. Lows in the upper 60s, highs will be in the mid-80s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have mostly clear skies and a temperature of 61 degrees. This check of radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust, helping to open doors since 1854.
If you currently have farmland under management or are managing your own property, CNB Bank and Trust has farm management services to help you. At CNB Bank and Trust, their success is a direct result of your success. Stop by and visit with Matt Slidham to see how CNB's farm management and agricultural consulting services can help open doors for you and your family. CNB Bank and Trust, helping to open doors since 1854.
Trust and Wealth Management Services, not a deposit, not FDIC insured, not insured by any federal government agency, not guaranteed by the bank, and may go down in value.
Once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here in Ag News on your Friday morning. Ransomware attacks like the one that shut down JBS meat plants last weekend are only likely to increase, according to one pork industry consultant, and the livestock sector must be prepared. Cyber extortion is on the increase as attackers make off with millions, and the National Pork Producers Economic Consultant Steve Meyer says the industry must be ready.
I would think we would be a very attractive target for these kind of attacks, and I think it just underscores the importance of companies being prepared for them and having the security systems in place.
It's not clear if JBS paid a ransom to the Russian-linked groups that the FBI now blames for the attack, while hackers of the Colonial Pipeline back in May walked off with $4.4 million.
This is a new world, and not enough to know how to raise and slaughter and process a meat product and keep it safe and make it wholesome and make it great flavors. You have to manage all the business aspects, and I think this underscores the need to be very vigilant about that.
Especially in a business with such a non-storable product, as the pandemic showed, and such tight profit margins. Meyer talks about the bottom line.
Consumers end up paying all costs. whether those costs are taxes or ransomware or whatever, consumers have to pay them all. And so we have a responsibility to our customers to do a good job on this.
Meyer says attacks are likely to continue, even increase, and will become a problem for all sectors, especially the livestock sector. In National Ag News off Capitol Hill, House Ag Committee Chairman David Scott, who happens to be a Democrat, sent a letter to President Biden regarding his American Jobs Plan and American Family Plan. While he supports the historic nature of the plans, he's unhappy with some of Biden's tax proposals to help pay for said plans. Scott says the tax plan will likely hurt farmers, even though the tax liability would be put off for as long as farm stays within the same family. In particular, the stepped-up basis is too critical, enabling family farming operations to continue from generation to generation, Scott said in his letter. The potential for capital gains to be imposed on heirs at death of the landowners would impose significant financial burdens on those operations. As he understands the exemptions, they would delay the tax liability for those continuing the farming operation until the time of sale, which could result in further consolidation of farmland ownership. That would make it more difficult for young and socially disadvantaged farmers to get into business. While I appreciate that the proposal provides some of the exemptions, the provisions still result in significant tax burdens on many family farming operations, Scott added in his letter to Biden. JBS employees began to return to work as of Wednesday at U.S. meat plants, one day after the company's beef operations stopped following a cyber attack. The attack disrupted meat production in the North American and Australian continent. A source familiar with the matter told Reuters that a Russian-linked hacking group is behind the cyber attack against JBS. Brazil's JBS controls approximately 20% of the cattle and hog slaughter capacity in the United States. Getting the plants back in operation should prevent a severe disruption to the American supply chain. The world's largest meat packer, JBS, said Wednesday that most operations had already resumed, including all of their pork, poultry, and prepared food facilities around the world. That included most of the company's beef facilities in the U.S. and Australia. The company's chief executive issued a statement saying they've already anticipated being close to full capacity across their global operation by Thursday. The attack followed one back in May by groups with ties to Russia on the Colonial Pipeline, which is the largest fuel pipeline in the United States. The attacks will be discussed at President Biden's mid-June summit with President Vladimir Putin of Russia. The American Farm Bureau has joined all 50 state farm bureaus and the Puerto Rican Farm Bureau that sent a letter to President Biden regarding the country's southern border. They're asking the White House to address the surge of undocumented illegal immigrants entering the United States. The increase of illegal immigration is severely impacting farm and ranch families, putting property and personal safety at risk. In the letter that was sent to the Secretary of Homeland Security, the USDA, and the Interior Department, "We've been listening to the concerns of our members and hearing how their livelihoods are being affected by the surge at the border," the letter said. "Farmers are sharing how their crops and property are being damaged, which is causing financial hardships." Farm Bureau says landowners are seeing their fences cut, crops destroyed, water sources compromised, vandalism, and litter on their property. The letter points out that local and state border security resources are exhausted, and they ask the federal government to provide additional resources to secure the Mexican border. In other national crop news now for your Friday, Hio Lake soybeans are offering a growing market for soybean farmers and heart-healthy benefits for restaurants and consumers. United Soybean Board Director Kevin Wilson, a soybean farmer himself from Indiana, says Hio Lake soybeans were launched in 2012 and completed their global regulatory process in 2018. Demand for Hio Lake soybeans has grown ever since.
Once we got that clear, then a lot of the food companies started getting more and more on board and taking a look at the Hio Lake oil and all the different benefits and all the positives that it has. This year, looks like we're going to plant about 600,000 acres of Hio Lake soybeans. Hopefully next year it's projected that we'll get up over 1 million acres.
Hio Lake soybeans offer several benefits for restaurants and a growing market that means more demand, improving farmer profitability.
The benefit comes to opening up markets that we didn't have before that we had lost, mainly in the frying industry where high oleic oil has a huge benefit. We have the ability to get a higher heat buildup before the oil tends to break down. It gives the restaurants and whoever's using them a longer lifespan. And then the health benefits that go along a little bit with this oil got us back into some of the competitive oils that we lost out to. So that's where hopefully the farmers will see more and more demand.
Wilson adds high oleic soybeans are a win for the entire value chain from farmers to the end user.
High oleics have zero trans fat, and it gives the companies a good alternative that we've got a great supply of it, and it's something that everybody seems to have a big win in. And then hopefully we can get more and more production and demand built in the near future.
And you can learn more about planting high oleic beans in your area by visiting soyinnovation.com. And as we've reached the month of June, that means it's National Dairy Month across the country. It's a time to celebrate the hardworking dairy farmers, to the cattle, to the great-tasting milk, cheese, yogurt, and ice cream and butter they provide for us. And in celebration, we'll continue our conversation with Jill Williams with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. In this part of our conversation, we talk about plant-based beverages that call themselves milk and the difference between those and real cow's milk.
Well, it is confusing. I think it's very confusing for consumers. And, you know, the biggest thing, first of all, is that they're not milk. So they're plant-based drinks, which I think the confusion is that people think that they're actually, you know, milk, or they're comparable to milk because they're, in the dairy case, usually they're right next to the milk. So people are thinking, oh, maybe this is a healthier alternative to milk. You know, a lot of consumers think that the main ingredient in a plant-based beverage is the plant itself, but a lot of times it's flavored water. So, you know, when you look at the ingredient list, some of them have 10 or more ingredients. So including like things like salt, sugar, stabilizers, food additives, thickening agents, natural flavors, emulsifiers. They're fortified with vitamins and minerals to help them compare to cow's milk. But when you look at the label for cow's milk, it has three ingredients: milk, vitamin A, vitamin D, and that's it. You know, it's the real thing. So they're trying to make these plant-based beverages similar to milk, you know, nutritionally. But in order to do that, they have to add a whole lot of stuff to them to make them, you know, look or even, you know, try and taste like milk. But, you know, that confusion between real milk and non-dairy milk is why we're challenging everyone to take part in our Dare to Compare campaign this June Dairy Month.
And Jill goes on to explain what the Dare to Compare challenge is.
There's different ways that you can compare. First of all, you can compare the food labels. So food labels can be confusing, but, you know, look on the back, look at the ingredients first, like I said. So ingredients are always listed by weight on a food label. So the ingredient that's used the most in a product is at the start of the ingredient list. Look at the serving size. So it might differ from real milk to an alternative beverage, or even from one alternative beverage to the next. It could differ from what you would consider a serving size. You want to compare the percent daily value of things like protein, carbohydrates, fats, vitamins, and minerals. A lot of times when nutrients are fortified in a beverage, they can settle at the bottom of the container. So that actually might make the nutrient content that you consume a lot less because, you know, you drink it, but you don't maybe drink what has settled at the bottom of the container. White milk has no added sugar. A lot of non-dairy drinks do contain added sugar. If you get the unsweetened version of those alternative beverages, they're not very good. So, I mean, I think when you try them, you know, that's why a lot of times people buy like the vanilla flavored or different things. But those do have a lot of added sugar. You just have to keep that in mind. And you might find that you have to eat or drink more of an alternative plant-based beverage to get the same amount of nutrition in real dairy food or drink. Milk is going to be consistent every time. Also, other things that you can compare are the price. So milk and dairy cost about 2 to 3 times less than plant-based substitutes. And understanding that plant-based products don't use accurate labeling when they use the words milk or dairy. So other countries have actually banned the use of the word milk or dairy on labels of plant-based products. The FDA's definition of milk states that it's obtained by the complete milking of one or more healthy cows. So I think that's where a lot of the confusion is that, you know, the word milk is on one of those. And so people think, oh, it's similar to milk, or it, you know, maybe even contains some milk or something like that. So it is, there is a lot of confusion there. And then also tasting the difference. So, you know, like I said, I think that's the biggest, you know, thing that drives consumers. I think a lot of times, I mean, definitely, you know, price and nutrition, they're looking at those things as well, but the taste is the biggest thing.
And again, that was Jill Williams with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. And we'll continue our conversation in the days and weeks ahead throughout June, as June is National Dairy Month. And we'll take a look into a bit of State of Illinois Ag News now on this Friday. You can join the American Farmland Trust and representatives from the Risk Management Agency, the FSA, and the Illinois Department of Agriculture, along with the Association of Illinois Soil and Water Conservation Districts, to learn how Illinois farmers can access the Pandemic Cover Crop Program. There will be an informational webinar coming up on Monday morning from 10:30 till 11:30 that will highlight the Pandemic Cover Crop Program offered by the USDA's Risk Management Agency and how it will help farmers maintain their cover crop systems despite the financial challenges posed by the pandemic. The premium support of $5 an acre will be deducted from the crop insurance premium owed by the producer, just like the state program. The premium reduction cannot exceed more than the full premium owed. The program covers insured acres planted to qualifying cover crops during the 2021 crop year. To receive the benefit of the program, producers must file a report of acreage form, the FSA 578 form, with their cover crops identified with the FSA by June 15th, which is distinct from the normal acreage reporting date. Producers who already received a premium discount through the Illinois Fall Covers for Spring Savings Program may also receive benefits through the Pandemic Cover Crop Program. And now that the calendar is flipped to June, that means that meteorological summer has arrived. And summer-like temperatures will be felt in much of Illinois later on this week and into the weekend, according to Chief Ag Meteorologist with DTN, Bryce Anderson.
It is looking quite summer-like, definitely, because we are going to have temperatures well into the mid-80s during the end of this week, and then kind of hang in there all the way through next week. So clear through the first half of June with that kind of temperature trend. And along with that, there's not going to be a whole lot of rainfall. We may see rain in southern Illinois, the Ohio Valley area, but over central and northern Illinois, it is looking quite dry. And, you know, these crops will be moving into their high production, high usage phases. Boy, they're going to draw out that soil moisture in a pretty rapid fashion, particularly later this week when those temperatures start warming up.
And again, that was DTN Chief Ag Meteorologist Bryce Anderson. Moving on now into local ag news for your Friday, the Montgomery County USDA Service Center is now accepting appointments for in-person visits. The USDA office here in Montgomery County will be using the following policy to complete the 2021 acreage reporting. All producers who have completed planting and wish to complete their acreage reporting, whether virtually or in person, needs to contact the office in advance by 532-3361 extension 2 because they're only allowing limited appointments and same-day acreage reporting services are not to be expected. After you've contacted the FSA office to request an appointment to complete your acreage reporting, they'll work with the individual producer on the preferred form of appointment. If you schedule an in-person appointment, you need to bring your maps and plan to complete your acreage reporting from start to finish, including signing the FSA 578 form during your appointment. If your request is for a virtual appointment, they ask for you to email or drop off your completed maps prior to your scheduled appointment, and at your appointment time and date, you can expect to receive the FSA 578 for your review and signature by email or through OneSpan for electronic signature. The Montgomery County Farm Service Agency looks forward to working with producers either in person or virtually over the next 6 weeks to complete acreage reporting. The deadline to file 2021 acreage reports is July 15th. And also don't forget the festivities coming up tomorrow Saturday at the Montgomery County Bicentennial. The Old Time Tractor Show will be held there tomorrow and on Sunday at the County Fairgrounds in Butler. Also, the Mid-Illinois Livestock Producers will be serving ribeyes, hamburgers, and all-beef hot dogs tomorrow, Saturday. That starts at 11. And the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders will be having a booth on site with trivia and prizes to win as well. And that wraps up your Ag News here for a Friday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Friday morning, June 4th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.